Let's just pray. Lord, please open our hearts this morning, draw us closer to yourself, and teach us how to pray and how to flourish in prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've ever visited the US, you'll be aware that, and if you've watched television, you'll be aware that our American cousins, or at least the companies that advertise on TV, are very wary of potential lawsuits from viewers who might take their adverts a little bit too literally. So I was once in the US, I was watching TV, and there was an advert for a new car. And for some reason, the advertising executives felt that you can just imagine them sitting around in the kind of, the brainstorming meeting. How are we going to sell this amazing new car? And someone at that meeting said, the way to sell this car, we're going to show it driving underwater along the seabed. That's going to sell this car. It'll fly out of the showrooms. So that's what the advert was, the car driving along the seabed under the water. But, caution, lest any hapless new owner think the car could actually drive underwater, there's a very important message displayed on the screen during this sequence. That wasn't it. What happened? It's on the other side. Oh, there we go. Oh, okay. Look at this side, everybody. That's the important message. This is working really well. Expert driver under simulated conditions. Do not attempt to replicate. Don't attempt to show a PowerPoint in church either. So I feel a little bit like if I were being asked to preach on holiness. Speaking on flourishing in prayer makes me immediately reach for a disclaimer. But the opposite kind to the car advert. I'm not an expert, but I do hope that you will attempt to replicate some of the things that we're going to be thinking about this morning. So we're all busy people, and prayer is one of those things we all know we should do more of. But I don't want us to kind of feel guilty about that and, oh, why can't I pray more? I really should pray more. What I hope is that our passage this morning from Matthew is a real encouragement to us all, that we're energized anew by the Holy Spirit as we open our hearts to Jesus' teaching on prayer. And let's just dwell on that thought for a moment, that what we had read to us this morning, it's not a self-help book, something you sort of picked up from the airport where someone just like us has kind of put together a few ideas based on some of the mistakes they've made and what they feel works for them. This is God the Son. And this morning in the 9:30 service, we read 1 John 1, which I think gets to the heart of what prayer's about. And it says that the Word of life, who is with the Father and has appeared to us, so that we may have fellowship with the Son, with the Father and with his Son. That's, I think, the essence of prayer. And yet, as the writer to the Hebrews says, this is God the Son who understands our weaknesses. And he encourages us to approach God's throne of grace with boldness, with confidence, so that we can receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And what an amazing description of prayer that is. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How can we not flourish in prayer if our prayer life consists of receiving mercy and finding grace? So how do we get there? Well, I think sometimes we're so familiar with the Gospels and our Christian heritage that we can lose the radical impact of Jesus' teaching. And his first century Jewish listeners would have been immediately struck by the fact that Jesus was talking about God in a completely new way. Jesus was talking about God as their Father. And he does that no fewer than four times in that passage. This is God, the Holy One of Israel, whose name revealed to Moses at the burning bush was so holy that it could only be spoken once a year by the high priest in the temple, in the holiest place of the temple that was separated from the rest of the temple by a massive curtain on the Day of Atonement. And Jesus is saying, this God is your Father. And prayer is all about our relationship with our Father, which has been mended and healed through the cross on which Jesus, God the Son, took away our sins, tearing that heavy curtain in two that kept us out of that holy place. And perhaps in some ways that curtain actually protected us as imperfect human beings from the holiness of God. Do you remember when the prophet Isaiah had a vision of God's holiness? He had a vision of God. Do you remember what his reaction was? It's not a reaction we often have in a Sunday morning. This was his reaction. Woe is me, I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. That was the impact of Isaiah seeing God's holiness. And this awesome holy God, Jesus says, is our Father. He calls us to himself. He wants us for himself, away from distractions and performing in front of others, which is what Jesus is talking about in the passage. And of course, this doesn't mean that we don't pray with others. It's just that our personal hidden prayer life is the foundation for corporate prayer. So this awesome holy God is our Father who cares for us so deeply and loves us so passionately. Jesus says in the passage, he knows what we need before we ask him. We are known completely and we are loved completely. We are known completely and we are loved completely. Now, everyone knows Andy Murray, the grumpy tennis player. Some of you may be familiar with a different Andrew Murray, who was a Dutch Reformed minister. He was born in 1828, and he was a prolific Christian author. And when I was at university, the Christian Union was having a sort of clear out of all their old books, and I picked up this book, which was published in 1904. It's called Like Christ, written by Andrew Murray. And in it, he's talking about Jesus' prayer life. This passage just had probably the most profound impact on me in terms of thinking about prayer, and I'd just like to share it with you. So Andrew Murray writes about prayer. He says, in Jesus' prayers, we see how he addresses God. Each time, it is Father. In that word lies the secret of all prayer. The Lord knew that he was a son and that the Father loved him. And with that word, he placed himself in the full light of the Father's countenance. This was to him the greatest need and the greatest blessing of prayer, to enter into the full enjoyment of the Father's love. Let it be thus with me too. Let the principal part of my prayer be the holy silence and adoration of faith in which I wait upon God until he reveals himself to me and gives me, through his Spirit, the loving assurance that he looks down upon me as a father, that I'm well pleasing to him. Those who in prayer have not time in quietness of soul and in full consciousness of its meaning to say, Abba, Father. And Abba, of course, was the familiar way of saying Daddy, Daddy, Father, has missed the best part of prayer. How can we not flourish in prayer if we grasp that? The greatest need and the greatest blessing of prayer, to enter into the full enjoyment of the Father's love. That might be quite a different way for you to think about what prayer is. And how often we rush from Father to a list of requests or even to the rest of the Lord's Prayer without dwelling and thinking about that amazing truth that we have a loving Father in heaven who knows us completely and loves us completely. And perhaps it's very difficult for you to associate that kind of love with the word Father because your own parents haven't loved you the way they should have. But God can heal your broken heart, and you can experience the reality of his perfect love, which casts out all fear. Or perhaps you feel that things you've done put you out of reach of God's love, that and prayer is a struggle to feel that God accepts you. But this is the Father who, in the parable of the prodigal son, casting aside his dignity and every social convention of the time, runs down the road with open arms to welcome home his destitute son who's wasted his inheritance. I think I said the other week, and what the King James version of the Bible called riotous living. He welcomes him with a party, and he puts the best robe on him. Will you let God, will you let your Father in heaven put the best robe on you? Or maybe we're sometimes like the older brother in that parable, held back in our prayers because we're too busy. Busy maybe with good things, but too busy to realize that we're always with our Father and all that is his is ours. And the entire Lord's Prayer flows from the fact that God is our Father, the holiness of his name, bringing the kingdom of God from heaven to the earth, seeking his will, provision for our daily needs, forgiveness and forgiving others, rescuing us from evil, all rooted in the reality that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we're now God's children and he's our loving Father. So I believe that flourishing in prayer really is that simple. When we pray, let's just pause for a moment and allow the amazing truth that God is our Father, who knows us and loves us, to fill our hearts and minds. We'll then approach the throne of grace with confidence and receive mercy and grace, so that not only will we flourish, but we can intercede and reach out to others with our Father's love, so that God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
We just felt it would be really nice to actually share the Lord's Prayer after the sermon, having heard from Matt as he's talked through it. But before we actually start saying it together, it would just be really nice if we could just dwell on the first two words for just a few minutes. Just think about the fact that the Lord's Prayer starts with our Father, not his Father or her Father or their Father. It's our Father for each one of us. Each one of us can say, I am a son, I am a daughter of the loving God. Say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are our loving, loving Father, and that you love to shower us with good gifts. But I thank you, Lord, that you're also a Father who knows what we need and what we don't need. And just as we are careful with our own children, and we give them the right things, Lord, I just thank you that you do that for each one of us. Thank you that we can call you Daddy, Abba Father.